It's the Suncast Podcast, covering the Sun Conference and all its sports.
How's it going, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome into another episode of Suncast. Reagan Harrell with the guy, Emmanuel Burroughs. Manny, we got a new number one team in men's soccer. We got a new number two team in women's soccer. And we'll start briefly with St. Thomas men's soccer. Manny, this should come to no surprise. The way last season ended, you knew this was going to be a team that came back, bounced back. We've talked a bunch about them. Before we get into Kaiser, because I want to talk a lot about Kaiser here at the top of the episode. As a Bobcat, anything you want to talk about with the men's Bobcat program?
Not really. I think it's been the start you could ask for. Obviously, they had a chip on their shoulders. They start the year ranked in the top three. They move up to the top two, tied with another team, and now hold sole possession of number one. I don't think you could ask for much more. I do think they're not sad, or I know they're not satisfied. I know that they're appreciating the moment, you know, being the first St. Thomas program to ever be in the ranked number one in the NAIA polls. That's definitely a big accomplishment, and rightfully so. I think men's soccer has been the example for excellence, consistency throughout Coach Felix's time there. So I'm just grateful that the Bobcats got that recognition, and I'm excited to see where it goes into conference and beyond.
We got to talk about a team that's got to be really happy with the way things are going right now down there in South Florida on the football pitch, or soccer pitch, to say. Football? Can say football? Our overseas folks will love that. They'll love that. They'll love the Southern accent calling soccer football. Holiday, everything. But let's talk about it. The Kaiser Seahawks, man, we said it at the beginning of the year. You especially were all over it. This looks like a world beater team. Top team in the country is the Cumberland Patriots. Look, they won national title. Fair. They could still be the number one team in the country. I got no problem with it. But man, this looks like the best, one of the best teams in the country. They have gotten a huge spark from Lauren Riley, who has, you know, continued her run at the top of the attack there for the Kaiser Seahawks. And it looks like she's taken even a bigger step up into this season. But who I have to mention in this, a shutout and then some big time saves, especially against William Carey late in that game and their 2-1 win over one of the better teams we've seen in the last few years of NAI soccer, that last year William Carey team. Maude Ronette, the goalkeeper for the Kaiser Seahawks, 81% save percentage. It's got the shutout in Babson Park to start the year for Kaiser. And like I said, some big saves there and some big time matchups. But man, looking elsewhere on that team, they have gotten some sparks through some new faces. Lena Groenberg has got a couple assists to her name, along with I've talked with Coach Dunn. This is one I've been saying a couple times, but we're going to try it. Iran Ron Gunsendauer?
I think she can appreciate the effort. So
okay, I'm trying my best. But of course, it's the reigning offensive player of the week, Lauren Riley. I hope to get her on the show on the next episode of Suncast. Reach out, try to get that going. But man, the Kaiser Seahawks, they look like a bounce back year, an understatement so far.
No, absolutely. And after that second top two win, top three win that they had over the weekend, I wrote in my notes, they are the best team going to the Sun Conference Sun Conference regular season part of everybody's schedule. It's hands down. They are the clear cut favors going into it. And the scariest part is they've given the feeling of they're not satisfied. This isn't what they wanted. It's great. It's awesome. They're number two in the nation, but they still want to prove that last year was a fluke through it all. They understand that they've done what they need to do in non-conference. I'm not going to say locked up, but they've pretty much put themselves in the driver's seat when it comes to the NAIA playoffs. And I know I'm kind of looking ahead there, but that's what they've done through non-conference. Now it's about them going to the conference where, if I'm being honest, you know, obviously Kaiser gets their flowers me personally, and I'm not just saying it because I'm a Bobcat. I think St. Thomas could possibly have an argument as being the number two or three team going into conference play, just because, you know, Southeastern and SCAD, while they have had some dominant wins, some big wins, I do think there is some level of concern, not panic button concern, but I do think a little bit of head tilting kind of games and here and there. I understand that those two teams are still going to be in the hunt for sure, but I do think the Seahawks hold that number one spot for me going into it. I think the Bobcats have kind of closed the gap at least between the other two teams in SCAD and Southeastern, who still, well, in SCAD's case, still ranked in the top 25. Southeastern did fall out of it and now receiving votes along with St. Thomas, but I do think it's Kaiser and those other three are kind of jockeying for that second position, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with you putting St. Thomas too in the Sun Conference women's soccer power rankings at this point. Look, let's just call it what it is. SCAD, disappointing start to the year. They've got some things to figure out. Georgia Gwinnett, that's the team I really wanted to see. A positive result, sure, 1-1. Gwinnett tied it late, I think about 10-15 minutes left in the game. They tied it up, but man, it's just, once again, this team, this is supposed to be the team that propels to that next level. And meanwhile, you've got Kaiser, and they are the best team in the country outside of maybe Cumberland's at this point. Would be a phenomenal matchup there, but very early in the year, of course, Manny, but I do think this is, we talked about the tiers of Sun Conference women's soccer coming in, and we've had, you know, three teams at the top. St. Thomas, they're right behind them. I think Kaiser right now is well off number one. It's like Georgia football, that's the number one team in the country, period. And I think it's the same thing in the Sun Conference of women's soccer. Kaiser women's soccer is the top team, and then I think you can kind of throw the other three however you want to at 2, 3, and 4, and then, you know, there's a little bit of a dip off after that in the conference right now.
No, absolutely, but and I know you're going to enjoy this, that other team in Miami Gardens, they looking a little dangerous.
They're looking dangerous. I want to see it in conference.
That's absolutely the next thing.
Yeah, well, I got to see it against, don't get me wrong, if they were 2-1 and they were playing, and then it was against like the Tennessee Southerns, William Carey's, like Kaiser's done, yeah, we're seeing a different team. I still want to see it. There is no doubt Coach Mark Leung, once again, is doing a phenomenal job. And it'll be interesting at Florida Memorial. To me, new athletic director. Florida Memorial's athletic director just took a job at D3 conference, MIAA, the D3 one, not the D2 one. That's right. But we've seen phenomenal growth of Florida Memorial over the last few years. We'll see if they continue to build that momentum. But there's no doubt Mark Leung has built on that momentum very, very well. But yeah, Manny, men's soccer wise, other than St. Thomas, we can stick there in Miami Gardens. Again, positive result for Florida Memorial men's soccer, who looks like they're another team on the come up there in Lions country.
No, they are. And obviously that initial season opener was not what they wanted, but you bounce back against number 22 at the time, FNU team that, if I'm being honest, I do think FNU's had a little bit of a sputter throughout the year. They've dropped a lot of their top 25 matchups. Obviously, they lost to the Lions in dramatic fashion, but you credit the Lions. That says a lot of their grit, a lot of their ability to... what I took away from that game was their quality over quantity. If you looked at the numbers in that game against Florida National, which I think has been their best game to this point, 25 shots for Florida National, 16 were on goal. The Lions only had 6 shots and 4 of them were on goal. So to come out of that 3-2 in dramatic fashion, then the 79th minute, that says a lot to the Lions' credit. And I think if they can build on that, I do think they're going to be a team where you can't necessarily expect them to thrive by just putting up a lot of shots, testing the goalie throughout the game. You got to take your opportunities when they come. I do think they're going to be another team that's a little gritty. I mean, in that game alone, you had 13 cards. FMU did have one red while FNU had two, and I think that ended up becoming a big factor. But overall, I do think the Lions, They took their initial lumps in that season opener. I think that Florida National game kind of put them back on track. And now I think going into conference play, they will be a formidable team, to say the least.
Yeah, looking elsewhere, what just went final, Southeastern takes down former Sun Conference foe, the Thomas Nighthawks, on the road, 4-2. Good win for Coach Roberts and company. Fire getting a nice non-conference win. As we record, currently 1-0 St. Thomas over Barry. You know, we sung the praises of Kaiser men's soccer. I'm sorry, women's soccer. Men's soccer, a little bit of a tough start to the year there. For them, really got punched in the mouth against Cumberland's Patriots. A good team, but Manny, I would have liked to have seen a little better result. Obviously, start of the year, first game for the Seahawks. But you worried at all about Coach Odom and company, or is it just early year they're going to get going?
I think it's early year. It's kind of weird for me to say, but I have always got the feeling with Kaiser men's soccer, they get better as the season goes on. Obviously, to say that of a former national champion is kind of a little crazy, but that's always the feel I've gotten with men's soccer. They might have a slow start. They might not seem like they're going on the right track, but before you know it, you blink and they're in the conference tournament on the road and doing some big things and making some big moves. So I think Kaiser Seahawks, if they were to continue into conference play, I'll start to, you know, look for that panic button. But for right now, I think they're squarely understand that that wasn't their best non-conference run. They need to definitely step up, and I think they will do that early on here in conference play.
Well, speaking, we talked a good bit about Kaiser and St. Thomas. Let's take a look over at volleyball as it stands right now. St. Thomas, after winning the first two sets, first one pretty handily, 25-16, the second one 25-23, they get blown out in the third set, 25-14, and Manny, we just have a Coach Whitney Batto has just called a timeout as Kaiser leads 15-12 in the fourth set. So hopefully that game will go final before we get done recording. We had a couple of sweeps, no surprises here. Weber 3-0 against Warner. Credit to Weber, battled through a very, very difficult non-conference. You could say probably the toughest non-conference schedule outside of, I would say definitely St. Thomas's, maybe Kaiser's. And then the same thing for Ave Maria, who after a 1-8 start, 1-9 start, they've just picked up their second conference win. They're now 2-1 in conference play, sweeping Florida Memorial 3-0. Just looking at those real quick. Manny, what else? Anything else you want to hit on soccer, volleyball-wise?
I think for volleyball, to be honest with you, this new college program, from what I'm hearing, they seem to be a team that we need to keep an eye on going through conference play here. They're obviously playing Southeastern right now on the road. They dropped the first two, took the third, but these set counts, 25-21 in the first, 25-19 in the second, and 20-25 in the third, the one that they won. Right now, it's 3-0 now, Southeastern to start the fourth set. So maybe the Fire are going to bring it home there, which would be a lot different. But if New College can force Southeastern, who's been up there when we talk about Sun Conference volleyball with St. Thomas, with Kaiser, if you can force them to a five-set conference opener, or well, not in their case, in Southeastern is their second conference game of the season, but if you can force them to five sets on the road, I really think this new college team might be coming in and really shaking some things up when it comes to playoff time. We had them necessarily like kind of one of those first teams out, kind of a team that could sneak in if they caught fire at the right time. But now we're maybe, I could even start seeing them as a playoff lock. Like, I think they've gotten that much just from what I'm hearing, from what I'm seeing. Obviously, they do have one Sun Conference win already against Ave, I believe. So correct me on that one. To fight with the Fire on the road, that's not an easy thing to do. And again, they're down 2-1 right now, but those other two counts were not blowouts. They were not dominant wins by Southeastern. They had to fight for that one. So this new college team has really got my interest throughout this conference run here.
Just hoping we get a little bit deeper into this fourth set. Manny, just looking ahead, I want to at least finish up this fourth set with Kaiser and St. Thomas before we send it into you and Josh talking a little Sun Conference football. I'll just ask you, because I just want to hear it from you and then just hear you talk about that St. Thomas football team against Louisiana Christian. You were there on the call for it. Just tell me a little bit about that game. I'm sure the people have already heard it, so it's maybe a real listen, but just want to hear it from you.
For me, it was not the game that, and I'll try to keep it obviously like brief so that way, you know, Josh and I can really dive into it here in a minute. But for me, it was not what I expected in the best way. So obviously for St. Thomas, Josh and I fully predicted a tough game that maybe at the end would open up, but the Bobcats came out and it was the defense for me. It's been the defense around the entire conference from St. Thomas to Southeastern to you guys at Weber, like everybody to me, the defense has really been top notch to something that I think is going to continue throughout conference. And, you know, Bobcats strike first. So Rontavious gets that first touchdown. And I'm like, okay, now what is going to happen on offense for Louisiana Christian? How is the defense for the Bobcats going to start out this game? And you force a three and out to start that. And it just kept snowballing from there, you know, interceptions, sacks. It was all working for St. Thomas. However, I will say realistically, that game was over at halftime. So while it was a great win for St. Thomas, and I'm not taking anything away from them, I'm sure they realized that that isn't going to be the preview, or that's not a preview for what's about to come this weekend, let alone the rest of the season when you've got your Kaisers, your Florida Memorials, your Webers, and all these teams who are gunning for you. You know, I do think Louisiana Christian, first year head coach, you know, a lot of turnover there. They had a great year last year, but I don't think that they've transitioned to it well. It was also their first game of the season, long drive from Louisiana and all this, you know, travel and all this kind of stuff. So at the end of the day, St. Thomas did what they were supposed to do. They got in the top 10 in the football polls in the NAIA. So credit to them, a team that definitely deserves it. But I know that they aren't necessarily patting their backs for what took place last Saturday. And more so, to be honest, I think they're happy just to get by it and start focusing on San Xavier for this weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be a great, great game. I talked with Corey over at the NAI Football earlier this week. He's really waiting to see what he's really wanting to see what St. Thomas does there. Meanwhile, though, down in West Palm Beach, it looks like this game could be heading to a fifth set, man. It is 21-17, so don't count the Bobcats out quite yet. But Kaiser 4 points away to possibly handing the Bobcats – obviously be 15 points away at least, but then could possibly be handing the Bobcats their first loss of the season. Manny, how many times have the Bobcats been in five sets? Once, twice so far
this season? I know once for sure when they went against they went in the Kaiser tournament. They did have one. They had just one against Mobile. So I would say at least two, no more than three though. So, you know, St. Thomas not really used to being in these types of sets. I do see from the stats here, I don't see
22-17 now.
Yes. And looking from the stats, I think the biggest thing right now for me, and this is a credit to Kaiser, it's the evenness of the kill count right now. You know, obviously Mackenzie Pryor, I know was going to be, and just because she's been attacker of the week in the Sun Conference for what it feels like every other week at least, she's only has 11 kills. You know, it's Silva, it's Francie, it's these other Seahawks that are really kind of coming alive here and putting the Bobcats on their back foot. In their case, Sanaa Dennis leads with them with 16 as of right now. Carolina Cruz, and then you kind of fall off with Taylor Barnes and Hope Levy Gaskin with 8 kills apiece. I think the Bobcats, you know, this is their first real test. This is their first real test, and understandably so. They drop this game. I'm not going to say they're going to drop out of the top 25, but you do have to imagine they're going to fall back a ways, and it's hard to get back into it, even though Kaiser is right now receiving votes. And if they win this one, it puts them in great position to possibly even sneak into that 25th, 24th spot.
That's what I'm thinking about, man. You just said drop out of the top. You meant at St. Thomas drop out of the top 10?
Yeah. I'm at top 10, because even though you lose this one, I don't think you can drop all the way out. That's a far, far nosedive of a drop. So yeah, I definitely meant top 10.
I guess a 15-2 team. I don't think that's going to happen. But I do think Kaiser's got a great chance of being ranked. I mean, if they can at least force a fifth set, you got to think they're up there. How about this? Just this matchup, man, with Hannah Heidi, Peyton Bertek. That's just phenomenal. Wow. Bertek, you know, getting in late into the fourth set. Bertek's got 42 assists and 3 kills. Heidi's matched her with 3 kills. It's got 34 assists. Does have 2 errors, but also has matched that with a pair of aces, 4 total blocks. God, man, they're just two phenomenal setters here in this conference.
No, absolutely. And I think you know, we're going to talk a lot about St. Thomas and Kaiser, and rightfully so, the top two in the conference right now, and will probably be the top two throughout the conference. But there are, I have seen some games, you know, from Weber. Again, like you said, and I fully agree, their record does not show the type of team they are. They had a very tough non-conference play, and they competed. They actually got a win against Texas Wesleyan, who was receiving votes at the time. So they were doing a great job of fighting, and Coach D did that on purpose to play against the St. Thomas of the world, to play against the Kaisers in the Southeastern, who right now, those are the teams that have a target on their back, and rightfully so. You know, you have the Warner Royals, who's kind of struggled, obviously, here, kind of sputtered. Same thing with the Florida Memorial Lions. I think they're all just trying to find their footing right now. I think Ave is another one where I'm a little disappointed at the start. I don't think they even saw that they were going to be 2-9 through 11 games so far of conference of the season. But still a long ways to go. We're just now starting the first run through the sun, obviously, for everybody. So I'm excited to see where things go from here throughout the next few weeks or so. And there it is. Kaiser does it.
Yep, Mackenzie Pryor. All right, we're into the fifth
five. Wow. I have to tune into that one once we get off here.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's do that. Let's hop off. Let's watch that fifth set. And then, let people hear you and Josh talk a little Sun Conference football.
Sounds like a plan.
All right, we'll kick it over now. JB and MB.
And now, folks, joining us here on SunCast, a very special guest that everybody knows, Mr. Josh, talking a lot of Sun Conference football after a busy, busy weekend. Obviously, we're recording this on Tuesday, so we are going to be talking a little bit about those new polls that came out. One movement, something that kind of stayed for one of the teams in the conference, but the new top 10 team in the Sun Conference for football. But before that, Josh, how excited were you for after all this football that we had this past week? I mean, there was so much good games going on. Just what was your initial takeaway from the entire weekend?
Well, first things first, I mean, we talked about a close game happening in Miami Gardens, but that was not the case. St. Thomas, from the word go, threw up all over the scoreboard. Great game, balanced, wasn't just Tay. A lot of new, I don't want to say new names, but new contributors to that team and that big win, a top 25 win, make that. I was really impressed with them. And I was also I was slightly impressed with Warner, man. I mean, that's a tough opponent, and 35-0 might look bad, but it's a little bit better than one may think. So we'll get into a little bit of that in a little bit. But I was really impressed with St. Thomas, though. Shocker.
No, I mean, absolutely. And I think that's the perfect place to start. Obviously, the newest top 10 team in the nation when it comes to NAIA football, St. Thomas, cracking the 10th spot in the latest polls that came out. I'm not going to say I was shocked, because again, when you beat a team like that the way they did, and technically their home opener, their season opener, because of rain delay the week before, I wasn't surprised, but I was still kind of weary, just because it was technically a 12 versus 22 matchup. So we weren't necessarily expecting that close of a game, maybe at the end. But the fact that the Bobcats came out from the jump, and we mentioned it in the preview and review of last week, the defense was what did it. The defense is where the Bobcats really made their mark. You know, Nick Angler had a big sack and early in the game that kind of set the tone. We had two interceptions, including a pick six by Caleb Walker, who ended up being the Sun Conference Defensive Player of the Week. Bobcat defense would really stood out for me. And obviously in the 56-10 final score, it's kind of an easy thing to say.
1,000%. And those two names you said, I have them written down right here, you know, of the my highlighted players for the game. It's funny you said that about the defense, and we didn't think it would be this strong, you know. I mean, we definitely thought it was going to keep them in the game, obviously, and help them win. But to pitch a 56-10, I mean, that's impressive as it gets against a top 25 opponent. You know you're going to be able to rely on that high potent offense, balanced offense. Now looking at it, you know, they can keep that up. I mean, St. Thomas might be looking at a championship round against the Kaiser Seahawks. So, I mean, that would be pretty cool if you ask me.
No, absolutely. And we got to talk a little bit about this offense, because it was understandably so. Even though it is the Rectavius Farmer show, at the end of the day, that is what the Bobcats kind of pride themselves on. He had the first three touchdowns of the game. He had the first touchdown of the game. He ended up with 20 carries for 130 yards with those three TDs. Kelly Watson behind center, 12 of 18, 253 yards, two TDs, including a rushing TD. Where else in the offense were you most excited? Where were you most surprised by? Was it Kelly? Was it the receiving? What was the other part of the offense that surprised you the most?
I was really impressed with Kelly Watson because a lot of the box scores, if you look at last year, he wasn't as involved. There was a lot of their offense was carried by Rontavius, like you were saying. But obviously, so Kelly Watson, great day. You mentioned some of his stats. Didn't turn the ball over. That's a big one. And number two, I mean, you had two tailbacks, Jakari Brown, 10 carries for 52 yards. That's productive. And Reggie Foster, 7 carries for 30 yards and a touchdown. And to go along with that, the receiver, David Hayes, 5 for 123 and a touchdown. Big day for Mr. Hayes. But let's – 56 points. Everyone looks at that, takes a peek at the box score. And, like, yeah, they play well on offense. 28 points in the first quarter, up 49 to nothing at halftime. The game was over at halftime. Game was over at the first quarter, really. But that defense, man, Nick Engler, 3 total tackles with 1.5 sacks. And Kendall Wilson, 7 total tackles with a sack and 1.5 tackles for loss. And Caleb Walker, 4 total tackles, 2 interceptions, 1 going to the house. So that defense came to play. Louisiana Christian couldn't really get anything going. Maybe some garbage, like 49 nothing in the first half, maybe some garbage points there. You know, St. Thomas throwing in some backups or some reserve players to, you know, games already at hand. So, you know, give some guys some other reps, but that defense came to play. But yeah, man, St. Thomas was nothing short of impressive.
And again, we both, including Reagan, all three of us, we're unbiased on here. So even though I am singing the Bobcats praise, rightfully so, I'm not going to say that Louisiana Christian came out and gave the Bobcats the best showing. I mean, the game started with a kickoff after the first Bobcat touchdown, and the receiver for the Christian team, Louisiana Christian team, fumbled the ball into the end zone. Like, there was a lot of self mistakes that Louisiana Christian did make. And still, credit to the Bobcats. You know, just because the other team makes those mistakes, you still have to capitalize on them. And that takes skill. That takes part of it. That takes mental toughness to not let your foot off the gas, like you mentioned, to go into the halftime with the commanding lead. So credit to the Bobcats and credit to what they did to start their season. We'll go from one Miami Gardens team to the other in the Big Cat Classic. Florida Memorial handles business against Edward Waters. Josh, what was your takeaway from the Lions winning their third straight Big Cat Classic against Edward Waters?
Walter Wilbon. That's it. That's it. Simple as that. 21 carries, 170 yards, and 4 touchdowns. I mean, we had him on here on media day. Coach gave him praise. You know, he had a hard time giving himself praise. Big team guy, which is very impressive to see, you know, with such a standout star player. It's hard to see these days with, you know, with what's going on with all the NIL and all this and that. Everyone can kind of get self-consumed. And, you know, he's very stand-up guy, talked really well. And, you know, it makes me happy that he went out there and had a great game. He deserves it, man. He's a great player. And he threw his team on his back and said, let's go, boys. And great game. They made it a little bit close in the second half. Edward Waters drew it a little bit close. But Walter Wilbon put the finishing touches with a 7-yard run with 2 minutes and 41 seconds left in the game. Game, set, match. But to go along with Walter, I mean, Marcus Barthel, the other tailback, 17 carries for 126 yards. Very impressive out of the other tailback. And they did mention that on media day, Coach, I mentioned, and Walter, that there's so many athletes on that team. And, yeah, Walter might be the highlight most of the time. You know, maybe not always, but they have so many athletes on that team, you know, that can carry the ball with authority, speed, can get down the field. So it was very impressive to see two guys go for almost 300 yards almost 30 carries.
And obviously, you know, we'll talk. This is just going to be the recap from this past weekend. And there's no games. We just realized there's no games on Thursday for this week. So our next preview for football will be on Friday for the Saturday and weekend games. But I do find it interesting that even though they're not playing yet, I believe they're still a week before they play each other, to see both starting backs for the Lions and the Bobcats have really good days pretty much within a 10-mile radius of each other, considering the Lions were at home and so were the Bobcats. I do think it sets up a nice little storyline there for when those two teams eventually do meet. But yeah, I agree. Walter Wilbon was the story for me. Saquon Smith, 11 for 20, 94 yards. I think he had a very good day. I think he had a good day sharing the ball. through the air. He had eight players with at least a reception that totaled for 94 yards throughout the receiving core. So I think that's a good job by him to make sure that his wide receivers are still getting involved, make sure that there's still a threat from the vertical pass. The defense, again, every Sun Conference team that's played, even the ones that have lost, you have seen some type of defensive awareness, defensive principle, and the Lions were no different. Kareem Roberts led with eight tackles. You also had an interception by Devin X. The defense for the Sun Conference right now has me giddy for when these teams eventually do match up, whether it's a Southeastern versus a Bobcat, a Lions versus a Seahawks. Obviously, we've all anticipated the Seahawks versus the Bobcats. I think if the defense holds up, we're going to see maybe some slower, grittier football games, but still exciting ones, because you know that first downs are going to be hard to come by. Third down conversions are going to be hard to come by. Those big highlight plays are going to be hard to come by. So I really want to commend the entire conference right now, that their defense has really surprised me in the best way possible and has gotten me very excited for the rest of the year.
One thing to note is a lot of these teams, one of the difference makers on defense, they're forcing turnovers. So whenever you force turnovers, that just changes momentum. That gives your defense, they get a turnover, your offense gets the ball back, they can rest, get ready for the next series, you know. Points off turnovers, that's a huge stat in college football. And, I mean, St. Thomas took one back to the house. Florida Morrow had an interception. Turnover, that's just a huge thing in this sport, because it really just takes the life out of a team, a drive, a half, a quarter, whatever the case may be. Those turnovers are huge, and whenever you can force them at a frequent rate, you're going to be in business.
No, absolutely. And again, we even go back to the first week. Southeastern had a couple, I believe, to the crib for some pick sixes. So the athletes that, you know, we see on offense, we're seeing them now on defense, and it's going to be very, very scary when these Southern Conference Titans all meet up and everything starts really getting underway with conference play. Unfortunately, though, there were two teams that were on the other end of the win-loss column. We'll start with the Warner Royals losing their matchup to Stetson. Obviously, the score at the end is not what the Royals wanted, but I know you're higher on the outcome than most people are.
So, yeah, I mean, first quarter 0-0. Hanging tough early, similar to when Ave played Stetson. It was a close game in the first half. It was only 14-0 at halftime. I mean, against a team who is 100% bigger, faster, stronger than you, almost without a doubt, and you're hanging in there, 14-0 at half. 35-0, probably got tired, probably got, you know, out-strength, out-everything. They kind of caught up to him in terms of the talent difference and that thing. But to know, I mean, had Clyde Holland a good day on the ground, 11 carries for 80 yards against a much better defense than they'll probably face the rest of the year. Then you had Kelsey Moreau, 9 tackles, and then they forced 2 turnovers, which is interesting to see. Yeah, it was 35-0, but their defense, they did force turnovers. So, you know, you take that approach into your Sun Conference schedule, forcing turnovers might aid you a little bit more than in a game like this. But the fact that they were able to pick off Stetson's quarterback, who did throw for 400 yards and 4 touchdowns, they did pick him off twice. So clearly he's a talented quarterback, and they still find a way to force a couple turnovers, which is probably one of the highlights, you know, in their locker room. That's probably one of the things that they're kind of a positive that they can take out of it. And they only had 1 turnover themselves. So there wasn't a lot of self-destruction there. It was more of just, you know, competition a little too much for him, hung in there, played hard, successful on the 11 carries for 80 yards. That's impressive against that kind of team. So whenever I say 35-0 is not really an indicator of how bad or how good it was, I think Warner hung in there. The last time Warner played an FCS opponent, it was like 98-0, I think, against was it Abilene Christian? It was one of those schools out in Texas. I forget the name exactly. But it was embarrassing for yet Warner and the conference itself, because a bunch of teams have played those FCS and Division II opponents and hung in there. Recently just got a victory from Kaiser. So the fact that they kind of cleaned that up and made it a more competitive game shows a lot about the growth of Warner's program and the Sun Conference itself.
No, absolutely. And again, sometimes it's about the bigger picture. Sometimes it is about necessarily how we got here than necessarily the end of the game. So I think the points you laid out, and I'm sure that the Warner staff and players kind of see it a little bit more, you know, after you've digested it and look back at the film and those kind of things. On that note, before we get to the final game, I do again want to, right, we do technically have two top 10 teams in the NAI polls for football. Kaiser still sitting at one after their very impressive win, so definitely want to give the Seahawks their flowers for what they've done to start the year. They're going to get ready for their next game. We'll preview their matchups this week, but definitely wanted to give the reigning NAI champs their flowers before we continue here. The final game, Weber, Campusville, even though we've been preaching defense and even in some losses for the conference, you've seen that defense on display. You saw it to a degree with Weber. You know, when you go back to the box score and you look at the breakdown per quarter, it wasn't like Campusville was putting up crazy numbers. I think they literally had one touchdown per quarter. Like, it was not were putting up anything crazy.
They scored once every quarter. Yeah.
So that's good defense. I just think, and I have it in my notes, it was an offensive struggle type of day. Would you agree?
Yeah, I 100%. Last few years, it's kind of been like that for Weber. It all kind of started with the quarterback play. Couple of turnovers wasn't very, and a couple guys that I mentioned that they needed to get involved. I felt like, I mean, Asavian, he didn't even get a catch. He's one of their better players. He didn't even get a reception. That's probably tough for him to handle. You know, coming back off of an injury last year, 6'4", 6'5", big time wide receiver coming in. You in a game like this on your home turf, and you don't get one ball. Maybe there was some targets, but he didn't pull in any receptions. That's tough. I kind of thought Weber would try to get him involved. But they weren't successful on the ground. Capitalized on a Campbellsville miscue. Taylor Scarborough for a touchdown. He has 6 carries for 110 yards. He also added some all-purpose yards receiving as well. But Taylor Scarborough with some good runs and a touchdown. Terry Weems also productive, 12 carries for 50 yards. So Weber can run the ball a little bit. But, you know, just against this Campbellsville team who's more air raid, they threw for 350 passing yards. And I'm sorry, I said they had two. Weber had 2 interceptions. They had 3. So 3 turnovers against a fairly good team in Campbellsville. It can't happen. Can't turn the ball over, especially if you're not forcing any yourself. It doesn't help you at all. You know, 3 turnovers is tough. It's going to be hard to manage that, especially when you got an offense who's kind of going up and down the field on you. But to highlight some defenders, like we talked about from Weber, who Weber did play some solid defense to an extent. They kind of gave it up in the air, but through the ground, it wasn't bad. Tyron Washington on the defensive line, 7 tackles, a sack, and 2.5 tackles for loss. And Jalen Williams at linebacker, 7 tackles and 1.5 tackles for loss. So that front 7 – that front 7 looks to be strong for Weber. It looks like they struggle in the secondary, which I heard about before the season. That was something they needed to clean up. And it looks like they still have some work to do. But that front 7 is tough, man. I mean, Tyron Washington played a nose tackle, and Jalen Williams, middle linebacker. I mean, those are two really good players. And when you look at some of these Sun Conference teams, there's a lot of running the football. So that defense may come down the road, may help them out in terms of taking certain teams out of their element. It may force them to go a different route in terms of through the air or, you know, RPO, play action pass. But that normal ground and pound, Weber might be able to snuff out a little bit better than in the past. But all in all, they have to limit the turnovers. That's against any opponent. If you're turning the ball over 3 times, it's not a good recipe for success.
No, at all. And obviously, we talked about it in the preview for football. We understand who the top 2 teams are on the conference in St. Thomas and Kaiser. We both kind of split on who we think that dark horse is between the Lions and the Fire. But we both kind of agreed Weber was that next team, that if things kind of broke right, it could bounce their way. But like you said, they're in that category of, like, they cannot make self-exploding, self-imploding mistakes. Those are the ones that are going to hurt them, because again, 285 total yards for what the conference is right now is not going to work on a game to game. And we're not even talking about the top teams. We're talking about any team in the conference. 285 means you're either in a dogfight throughout, or you're probably not going to be on the receiving end of that game. 2 out of 7 on third down conversions, 0 of 2 on fourth down conversions. Those are the plays that are going to start separating these teams, because at the end of the day, Weber proved, like you mentioned, the running game is going to be there, you know, and I think it was still a a lower end for the rush at 178 just because of the way the game was going. I could easily see them getting to the 200s and above 200. But 107 passing is where my eyes really kind of opened up and said, we got to improve on that. And it could be what you mentioned. Just get some of these more, some of your playmakers, some more catches, some more attempts. Just see what happens. You know, eventually they will start falling. So I don't think, again, I don't think 107 is, that's what they are. I think it definitely was a situation where they maybe, I don't want to say we're not prepared, but just weren't ready for that moment that weekend. I think it was a wake-up call. I do think it was a wake-up call. You go from the University of Fort Lauderdale to Campusville, a much better team, a much more experienced team, just a better program overall. You're going to see these type of things. So to a degree, I'll give them a pass still early in the season, but you want to have this in the beginning of the year. You don't want to do this 2-3 weeks in, and now we're starting to figure things out. I do want to shout out 7 broken plays on the defensive side of things. Defense is, again, going to be the calling card. So for them to be able to relatively hold a pretty good football team to 1 touchdown per quarter, if you went to a game and you told me or you told anybody who's watching and a fan of Weber, hey, they're literally going to score 1 touchdown per quarter, you'd probably be like, okay, we'll take that. Now it's on our offense to go out and produce. So that's what it came down to. It could have just been one of those days. We'll keep an eye on it for sure. But overall, I do think Weber has a higher ceiling for sure, absolutely. But they need to definitely find that grip, find that chip on their shoulder now, because once conference play starts, which is pretty much right around the corner for some of these teams, it's gonna be a very, very tough kind of change of pace for some of these programs. And you know, we did it last week. Tech, well, I'm gonna do it again for you. You told me that obviously the team for the first official week or week two really of Sun Conference football was Kaiser because their big win on Thursday. My question to you is, has that changed for you after this past weekend, or are you still rocking with Kaiser as the team of week two?
I think you got to give it to St. Thomas. I mean, yeah, Kaiser knocked off the Division II opponent in overtime on the road, but 56-10 in a top 25 matchup on your own turf, and just a beautiful, beautiful game for St. Thomas to get things going, moving into another big-time game against St. Xavier next week. I think you got to give St. Thomas the game of the week, the team of the week, you know, because they were sound on all aspects of all sides of the ball, offense, defense, special teams. So St. Thomas, I think, has taken the reins.
No, and I definitely agree with you. Again, Kaiser probably had the biggest statement of the week. Just again, it is a program that turned heads. It's a big win for the Seahawks in a new coaching era. Your first game to try and repeat, you know, defend your national championship. So I think they probably had the statement game, but I would give St. Thomas the team of the week just because, like you mentioned, we were all expecting that game to be a little bit closer than what it was. And maybe if it would have been closer in the first half and open up in the second half, we could have been like, okay, that's understandable. We kind of could have seen that. But for them to come out literally from the opening kick and put it on Louisiana Christian in a way that I was thoroughly surprised, thoroughly shocked. I do think St. Thomas is that one for sure. What on the last note for, you know, now 2 weeks into Sun Conference football, aside from the defense, because I think we've definitely beaten that horse, or that people understand that now. Yeah. What else are you seeing here now that you've seen pretty much every team, if I'm not mistaken, in the conference play? I think everybody's got at least one game now under their belt, whether it's a win or a loss. So what have you really kind of seen overall 2 weeks into the conference now?
Up to this point, I potentially see some expanded competition in the league. So last year, you kind of had the two top teams in a kind of, I mean, Florida Memorial kind of flirted with, you know, with being competitive in the league. But I think you're going to see a little bit more competition kind of throughout. I think Warner's better. Ave's kind of always that team that's kind of going to show up and spoil someone's season, just kind of go out there and beat somebody. Same with Weber. And then any given day, Weber can go and show up and beat you. And you got Flomo and Southeastern, who are those two teams that are right on the cusp, I think. I think they're right there. I think Kaiser and St. Thomas are like here, like one. I think St. Thomas, Flomo are like 1B. I think they're like competitive. And if you put them in other conferences, they're very successful. But when you have two top 10 teams in the country atop your league, it's going to be tough, but I think Flomo and Southeastern are going to give those teams a little bit of a fit, which is really good for the league and for NAI football in general. And Thomas, still a new school, kind of can't be too tough on those guys. They're still kind of getting into the whole football deal. It's only their second year as a program. They do have a very tough game next week against Bethel, and they played a good Bluefield team a week ago, who, shout out, one of my childhood best friends plays quarterback for Bluefield, so that was cool to watch that a little bit. So, yeah, man, I think it's just the added element of competition in the league that I think is going to be different this year than in the years past.
No, I completely can see that and agree with that. You know, for me, it was, aside from the defense, the offense has – it's been overshadowed by the defense. I will say that. I do think the defense has impressed me more. But the offense is no slouch. And like I kind of mentioned, the run game in the Sun Conference might be – underrated, if you can believe that, because we know what, you know, the Rontavious Farmers of the world are going to do. We know what the Seahawks offense is going to do. But you see a Walter Wilbon with a great game, 170 yards. You see Weber rush for 178 as a unit. You know, sometimes you look at a run game and you might think it's a specific back that's doing most of the work. But if it's a team, if you can throw in one, two, three different types of running backs in your offense, whether it's a power, it's a finesse, a speed guy, that can, again, build up that run game. And now you've got to, as a defensive team, you've got to be on your P's and Q's and understand play calls, understand changes, who's in, who's not in, what are we doing for certain coverages. So I think that that'd be my thing. The offense has been really, really good, but the run game specifically has really impressed me. And so I'm excited for it. Obviously, no games on Thursday, so we won't be doing any preview right now. We'll save that for Friday's episode. Give the people a little sneak peek. Is there a game that you're really excited for? And give me a quick 1-2 second thing about why you're excited for that game.
I'm really excited for Reinhardt and Southeastern. Southeastern came out guns blazing, take care of Faulkner, our powerhouse. They have another one in Reinhardt this week at home this time. They might have been at home the first time. Yeah, they were. Pardon me. Another home game against a powerhouse NAI opponent. I think, you know, Southeastern has a lot to prove this year after kind of a down year, which we kind of talked about on media day with, you know, with their coach. They have such high expectations. So the way they played last year was, I don't want to call it unacceptable, just unlike them rather. But, you know, I think Southeastern is probably jacked up for this game. Home game under lights, 7 p.m. in that cool stadium they got, just right before they get going in Sun Conference play. I'm sorry, they have another game for Lauderdale, but just their last really tough game before Sun Conference play is a statement for them, put the conference and them on notice. So I'm really excited for Southeastern Reinhardt.
Honestly, I think that's a perfect way to end it because I wasn't even ready for that pick. You caught me out of left field with that one. I'm saying it's not a good pick. I think it's a perfect pick, but I was for sure thinking you was gonna go with St. Xavier and St. Thomas. But you know what? This is why Josh is the football guy, and I'm just here to help whenever I can.
Well, it's tough because I mean, that's a good game. Newberry Kaiser is a good game. Southeastern Reinhardt, those three are all good games. Something to note: in Week 4, Ave Maria plays at Dayton. That's interesting. A Division 1 opponent. That's interesting. That's cool. I'm really interested.
You've piqued Josh's interest, guys. You've piqued his interest. You can see it in his eyes. He's
neat. That's neat.
He's locked in now.
Not to go too far ahead. Southeastern right. Reinhardt.
2 weeks and we're already itching for what's the next game? What we can sit here all night and just keep going for the entire season, do it all again the next episode if we really wanted to. But nah, Josh, a great job already through 2 weeks. I'm sure the people are at home are enjoying this, are enjoying what we're doing with all of it. So great job with it. You got any last cues before we send people into the midweek here?
Nothing too much. Just like I always say, go Sun Conference, and I hope they keep it going and put us on the map.
Absolutely. Hopefully Reagan and I can work on something. We might be trying to get an interview for you guys for that later episode this week. If not, be ready for that episode to be kind of recap the midweek sports and as well as preview the weekend. Until then, we'll see you all on the next one.